If you have a Bible, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 as we continue our study in the second epistle of Paul to Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. Listen carefully to God's Word. Now concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that, as I said, you may be ready, lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your bountiful gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God, while through the proof of this ministry they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. There has not been a time in the history of mankind when a people or nation were so occupied with the desire for personal happiness. There has never been a period, a generation in the history of the United States when individuals were so obsessed with the desire for personal happiness. Well, there is a lot that the Bible has to say about personal happiness. But this morning we're going to be talking about a surprising principle. And that is giving. The happy giver. The happy giver, in the first place, knows that he is making an investment. He is, as it were, planting a seed, that is the image that Paul uses in verse 6. He says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly." And then in verse 10, "Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food." I said that the happy giver knows that he is making an investment, just as a farmer plants his seed and sooner or later he expects some return from his investment. An investor wants his product, his money, to work for him. I hope that none of you were burned, at least not too seriously, last October when the market crashed. All of us, of course, whenever we place our money anywhere, whether it's in a stock or in some share or some bank, we want to see a return come. And that is biblical. You see, investing, not just from a financial standpoint, investing in the kingdom of God brings the greatest return. Proverbs says, "There is one who scatters and yet increases more. There is one who withholds more than is right, and it leads only to poverty." Paul said in Galatians 6, "Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap." And if we are investing in the kingdom of Jesus Christ and establishing his cross, whether it's in the First Presbyterian Church of Gadsden or in the Presbyterian Church in America or in work around the world, we are investing, and believe you me, you will see a return, because there will be no market crash in the kingdom. George Smith went to Africa as a missionary in another century, another time. And while he was there, during his entire term as a missionary, he saw one African come to Christ in the village where he was working, in the area where he was working. He went back home, returned as a missionary. He died, and after his death, everyone considered that George Smith was a failure. And so his church sent back another missionary to that same area. And when that missionary returned to the village, that missionary found 13,000 believers and a church already formed. Because one missionary invested in one life. God gave him a return. According to your investment, so will be your dividend. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. Do you wonder why there does not seem to be more fruit from your investment in your personal life, in your time, in your talent, in your finances? Could it be because you are not really sowing bountifully? There is a man called Mr. Eternity. I don't even know if he is still alive. But he used to walk the streets of Sydney, Australia. And he would minister to people sitting on benches. He would pass out tracts. And his question was always, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? And so everybody called him Mr. Eternity. But he was, as the farmer, sowing his seed so that a harvest may come. Now, sometimes God actually causes a harvest to be materially. We are familiar enough with those who are called tele-evangelists or electronic preachers or the electronic church, who preach often what is called a gospel of prosperity. That is, if you really believe in God and if you trust in Him, then God is going to give you whatever you want, and God wants you to be rich and everybody to drive around in Cadillacs and have a mansion on the hill. That's the idea. And if you don't have it, it must be because you have no faith or you're just a sinner. Well, that is the idea. But sometimes God does bless materially with your investment for His kingdom. Do you know that there is a Presbyterian in the state of Alabama who is a member of a PCA congregation who believes that God has given to him the gift of giving? He gives 50% of his income to the Church of Jesus Christ. Do you know what happened to him? I am not exaggerating. This is a fact. He invested $1,000 and he made $1,000,000. Now, that doesn't mean if you strike a bargain with God and you say, God, you give me $1,000,000, I'm going to give you half. I doubt if God is going to answer that. He is not a bargainer. But it shows that the man's heart was right. Hudson Taylor, a pioneer missionary into Asia, was one who faced a young family and yet on the brink of starvation. Hudson Taylor himself had some oatmeal left for his breakfast, and he had one coin left. And he gave his coin to this hungry family. And he went home, and the next morning he got up and he ate his bowl of cereal. And that was all he had. And unusually, in the mail that day, and he never received mail on Monday because his family never mailed on the weekends. He received some mail on a Monday, and in the mail, there he found some gloves, and as he picked up the glove, coins began to drop out, and he found that he had made a 400% profit on his investment by giving that one coin to that hungry family. Well, those are some unusual situations, but you see, the happy giver is the person who knows that when he gives and the offering plate is passed or he writes his check to wherever, he is making an investment in the kingdom of God. And believe you me, sooner or later, the return is going to come in. Because you can't outgive God. The happy giver knows that giving is really a matter of the heart. That's verse 7. I said, firstly, the happy giver knows he is making an investment. And secondly, the happy giver knows that giving is really a matter of the heart. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, the measure of the gift is not how much, but the measure of the gift is your attitude. Now, we could say something else about the measure of a gift. We could say that the measure of a gift is not what you give, but what you have left after you've given. But here our focus in this verse is that the measure of the gift is not how much, but how the quality, the attitude, the heart as you give to God. Do you remember two characters in the book of Acts, husband and wife, named Ananias and Sapphira? They were living at a time in the early church when church members brought everything to a central holding place. And the church distributed to each member according to the need of that particular family. Well, people were bringing everything to church. They were selling their property. They were giving it to the church. Ananias and Sapphira owned a farm outside of Jerusalem. And so they sold their property. And then they came and they gave some of the money to the church. But what they did was they lied. They said, we sold the property for this much and we're going to give the church the benefit, the profit. What they did, in fact, was sell it for much more. They stuck in their pocket. There was nothing wrong with that, but they simply lied. Their heart was wrong in giving to the church. That was the problem. They could have kept the whole thing. Dear friend, if you cannot give to God cheerfully, if your gift is a grudging gift or a necessary gift, don't you give. If you cannot give from a heart that is joyous, don't give. The measure of a gift, according to this verse, is whether or not it brings joy. You've heard many preachers say, and you've heard me say, that it is very important to be a tither, and it indeed, I recommend it, not because it is law. It is wrong to say it is law. It is a rule of thumb, and it is a practice, and it is an Old Testament principle. I recommend it for you, and I hope that you practice tithing as the minimum, as starting off. But the New Testament has a higher principle. The New Testament has a deeper principle. Jesus teaches you should give until your heart is free from the tyranny of the things that you possess and you begin to experience the joy of what it means to give. Do you know the word in this text for cheerful? In verse 7, God loves a cheerful giver. The original word means hilarious. That's the translation. God loves a hilarious giver. So that when you're about to write your check to God, then you rejoice and you get cheerful. And you say, oh boy, I'm making an investment. That's a happy giver. The happy giver, he knows he's making an investment, and he knows that giving is a matter of the heart. But the happy giver knows that God, thirdly, will take care of him. That's why he can be so happy. Look at the next verse in verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every work. You get the pattern? You can't give more to God. He doesn't want you to impoverish yourself. That's absurd. That's not what the Bible teaches. But God will meet your need. Do you believe it? Do you believe that if you give to God, that He's going to meet your need? That if you make an investment and that you give cheerfully, that God will bless you. Sometimes God actually withholds blessings because we're not giving to Him. I believe that. I read about a little girl in a book entitled Hansi, the Girl Who Loved the Swastika. It's about World War II in Germany, a family and a young girl. And they were poverty stricken because of the war. They were Christians. And they finally got down to the point where they had something like 13 cents left. 13 cents. And then the mother remembered that they had not been going to church lately, and she had been putting the tithe up in a separate place, and they went and they found a collection of money, the tithe, that they intended to go to the church. Now, what would you tell that family to do with that tithe? Do you know what they did? They gave it to God. And something happened in that family that they had been praying for and hoping for 2 years as this mother tried to find a job. She received a job. Do you think she would have received that job if they had used the tithe? Think about it. John Elliott, the missionary who was slain by the Aka Indians, one time wrote this. He said, "He is no fool who will give up that which he cannot keep in order to get that which he cannot lose." God is able to supply all of your need. Paul said in Philippians 4:19, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Jesus said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will men give into your bosom. For with what measure you give, it will be measured to you again. Christian, be a happy giver. Because Christ loved you, because Christ died for you, because He gave everything up for you, be a happy giver. Are you? Do you know that you're making an investment when you give to God and to His kingdom? Do you know that giving is really a matter of your heart? Anyway, are you an hilarious giver when you give to God? And do you know that you can be an hilarious giver because God will take care of you? Let's pray. Our Father God, we do rejoice and thank you for your provision and for the instruction that we have in your word for personal happiness, and in this particular chapter on the happy giver. Lord, make us happy givers. Help us to give to you, knowing that we are indeed making an eternal investment, whether we receive or see the return right now. It will come, we know, because you have promised that whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Help us to give, Father, with the right spirit, the right heart, the attitude, that we may give cheerfully with a hilarious spirit. And let us not doubt that you will take care of us, that you will provide for us, and that you will meet our needs. Let us be willing to give up that which indeed we cannot keep in order to gain that which we cannot lose. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you all that love our Lord Jesus with sincerity. Amen.